Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ladies and idiots,
this is the Fade to Gray podcast.
We're fading to gray, fucker.
If you say the word keto, I'm gonna throw up.
I'm in ketosis. Get over yourself.
Way to call me out, man.
Let's get real.
Take an honest look at yourself, my friend.
Seth never said he wanted to fuck you.
Was that like an innuendo for masturbation?
Shut up.
What do you think about the podcast?
It sucks.
Nice. We out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Fade to Gray. Now, what we've been doing over at the Fade to Gray family is we've been getting real serious about our health. And I don't know about you, but like, I just really let the summer get to me, man. Milkshakes all the time, fucking, you know, hamburgers. It was the 4th of July recently. We had a cookout. I mean, Jesus Christ, can there never be enough reasons to pig out?
I mean,
right?
It sounds like you just ran up the steps. I mean, right now, so calm down, dude. You're like,
oh, well, I gotta say, I've been doing better, right? And so I actually have more energy now that I'm not pigging out on shit food. And we can talk about that here in a minute. So at the Fade to Gray family, what we've been doing is we've created our own little subgroup where we've been trying to keep each other accountable for our health. This is not just about like overeating. This is also about, you know, people might want to cut back on smoking a little bit. I don't know, whatever it is they want to do. We're going to be moral support for them in this group. We're also going to hold each other accountable. Andy's laughing, and I'm guessing it's because he doesn't think people need moral support. I don't know. What do you think, Andy?
Well, you know, I was actually going to make a callback to what we were just talking about before we started recording, to people shooting their, never mind. But yeah, I definitely head over to that group. I'm not part of that group yet, but I hope to be. I've been slacking as well this summer. I have.
You can't tease us like that, Andy. What were we talking about with shooting the what?
We were just talking about shooting the shit shooting the on this shit. Episode yeah. of oh, this okay. wonderful Fade to Gray podcast.
That's not
and
what
I
we
cannot
were talking
wait to do
about.
That. And I cannot wait to join this group and get my health in line
That's
for
right.
back to school. I'm trying to look good for all those moms, those single moms that I'm going to be seeing at my daughter's school in about
all
a month.
All you single
here.
Ladies, all you single ladies, get Andy's number. Get his number now.
So Andy, so your goal is to lose weight, to tone up, to look good on the beach. Like, what's your plan here? What's your goal?
To get laid.
Although I live in California, I can't even remember the last time I went to the beach. So I will definitely just be trying to just lose. Basically, I've been drinking a lot of beer this summer. It's been, I don't know, hovering around 105 here in Northern California. And I have been
I thought you were going to talk about your weight being 105. And I was like, holy shit.
Me too. I was you don't need to lose weight, man.
Dude, honestly, this is the most I've ever weighed in my life. And I'm
what do you
160.
Weigh?
I'm 160.
That's my goal weight.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So when you've been 7% body fat your whole entire life, this is actually a travesty. So I am just hoping to lose the beer gut and maybe get a date.
Yeah, but you don't think that your gut's keeping you from getting a date, do you?
Oh, I mean, my personality's not helping, so I got to lose the beer gut.
Should the goal be losing weight, or should be the goal cutting down on beer, if the beer is what's causing the weight?
I mean, Seth, that's... No. No.
You could drink
no.
low-calorie beer.
I'm not a beer connoisseur, so I don't know.
I definitely don't think I'm giving up beer anytime soon. Because that is my form of, well, let's just say that's my water.
Just move to whiskey.
On top of that, yes. If I moved to whiskey, I would be a complete alcoholic.
Back in the day before people could drink pure water, they had to drink alcohol all the time. You know, that's so I don't know that that makes people fat or not. It depends on what else they're putting in their body. So beer alone is probably not going to do that.
The carbs don't help.
I mean,
I'm
it is
sure.
sugar. Yeah, it's sugar and carbs. But if you're also putting a ton of fat and sugar and carbs in your body at the same time, you're going to fuck up, of course.
Sure. Well, I've been good about the carb thing. This summer, the only thing I've eaten that's carbs every day is an everything bagel. And that's truly about the only carb based. Well, I mean, and beer, obviously.
A bagel but with cream cheese.
Oh, don't
yes,
say that,
it's an everything so bagel hungry. With cream cheese. But I try and go to the bike trail every single day. And if I can't make to the bike trail, I usually just walk around my neighborhood and I try and put in at least 3 miles every day, which I hope offsets the beer and the everything bagel.
Yeah, I imagine if you're doing that, you're probably offsetting some of that. That's good. You know, as long as you're getting active as well. I think, you know, there is something to be said about moderation, and you can't go through life without eating things that you like, but at the same time, you shouldn't overeat those things as well. But me personally, I'm way bigger than what I want to be. This time last year, I'll just go ahead and say it. This is crazy, but I am 50 pounds heavier than I was 1 year ago. So I put on 50 pounds in 1 year. That is absolutely insane.
But how happy are you, Chris? That's what I want to know.
I'm pretty goddamn happy, see? But I will. But I went through a lot of stress earlier this year that made me put on all that weight. So, but I'm at a point where I know it's time to do something about it. So, you know, Elizabeth and I are in that group, and actually Seth's in there too, and Andy's about to join. Actually, Omar, you are too. Yeah. So. Anyhow, in the group, we've kind of set goals, right? So my goal is that I want to get down to within 2 weeks. So it's already been a few days. Within 2 weeks, my goal was to get down to 200 pounds. Not everyone's telling their weight because some people are really self-conscious about this. I don't give a shit. Whenever I weighed in on day one, I was 213 pounds. So my goal was to get down to 200 by... Monday, where's the damn calendar? The second week of August. So that would be not the fifth, but the 12th. Monday, the 12th is whenever I want to get down to 200 pounds. And I'll just tell you this, so far, it's only been 3 days and I'm already down 8 pounds, people. And I'm not starving myself. I'm eating very well. And I'm eating lots of, good food and I'm feeling really great. In fact, if you'll let me go ahead and talk about it right now, I'll tell you why I feel so good. And everyone's telling me to slow down.
If you say the word keto, I'm going to throw up.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to say it. I got to tell you. Because
damn keto conversations.
I'm in ketosis. That's why I got so much energy, man. I'm not even kidding. I've got energy out the wazoo. Last night, you know, normally whenever
wazoo
I'm not.
Wazoo is the nickname for his asshole.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
So,
I got it.
You're going to turn Seth on. Hold on. All right. So
shut up.
I've never said anyone to fuck you.
Right. Just because I'm attracted to men does not mean I'm attracted to you. Honey.
Brave Seth.
You need to take a...
Let's get real.
Take an honest look at yourself, my friend.
Let's get real.
No one wanted to fuck you before, Chris.
Look at yourself.
I look good, man. I feel good. All right. So let me just explain. All right. Let me explain why I feel good. So... Normally, on the standard American diet, which is high fat, high carb, right? You go to bed and so, well, at least I do. So I'll go to bed and I'll be watching TV. I can't even finish a goddamn TV show without falling asleep because I just lack the energy and I'm sluggish and I go to bed early. But whenever I'm in ketosis or I'm on the keto diet, I literally can lay down and go to bed whenever I want to. I don't even need to sleep sometimes. Like, I know sleep is very important for you, so I make sure to do it. But, like, whenever I'm in ketosis, I have so much energy, I don't even know what to do with it. And it's amazing, which is why, like, I'm telling you right now, like, I feel very good about what I'm doing. You just have to kind of, like, get through that first few days of like, really wanting a bagel with cream cheese or, you know, whatever it is that you...
Way to
call your guilty pleasure.
He's teasing me, too, Andy.
I'm teasing Elizabeth. But you know, after that, and it, you don't have to do the ketogenic diet, do whatever diet works for you. But I'll tell you, I went to the doctor a few years ago whenever I first tried keto. Let me just tell you, is it cool if I tell the story?
You're already on a roll, so may as well finish.
All right.
No, he's so not went, on a roll. That wouldn't be keto.
Right. Oh, I'm right, not. Right, well, right. It'd have to be an almond flour roll, right? So Lord. I go to the doctor. This is like 2 years ago. So this would be August 2017. Well, July 2017. And I'm weighing about 240 pounds at this time, jeez, which is, yeah, it's 30 pounds more than I am now. And I asked the doctor, hey, man, like, what can I do about my weight? Like, I'm, you know, not feeling very good about it. I've never been this heavy. Like, what can I do? And he says, well, you're going to have to get on the Mediterranean diet, you know, and eat 1,200 calories a day. And I'm like, all right.
Is so your I did doctor that. Seth?
is that how Seth sounds? So I did that. And I gained weight on that diet. And so I said, fuck this. I'm just going to have to figure out what works for me. And I had heard about keto on Joe Rogan and Bad Christian. And so I thought, well, I'll just give it a try. You know, what can I lose? You know, I can't do any worse. I'm already, you know, overweight and not happy and very unhealthy. I gave it a shot and I immediately felt better within a week. My blood pressure was high. It went normal. My cholesterol was high. It went normal. And I dropped so much weight. I went from 240 to 160 in less than half a year. And never felt better, you know? So I'm back on it, baby. I'm about to get back down to one. My goal is 170 or 165. So that's where I'm headed. My long-term goal, I'm hoping to get there, you know, in less than half a year, but doesn't matter. I'm going to stick on it. I'm going to do it. And, if you're wanting to, be healthier. It doesn't have to be weight related. It can be that you want to quit smoking, or that, you know, maybe you don't have as much weight to lose as I do, but you can join our group. It's completely free and we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to keep you motivated. We're going to, you know, just be there for you to tell your story and talk about it or whatever it is. So
this ad sponsored by Fade to Gray for keto.
I mean, it sounded like every one of the Joe Rogan episodes that talk about health that I like to skip onto, like when they have
right.
I'm like, where's Joey Diaz at? Where's somebody like? Let's like.
But, yeah, is blue cheese keto?
Yes, 100%.
Chris, can you
eat blue it. Cheese on your wings or go? You know,
can hell you yes. really quick, after Mama? After hearing your story, then why did you say that, Omar? That's horrible.
Joey Diaz says it.
It's wow. a quote.
It's wow. okay.
It's a joke.
He's not on this podcast. So, Chris,
I wasn't talking about your mama, Seth. It's okay.
Not yet.
Define. Talk about ketosis and what okay. you experience really quickly.
So snapshot. When okay. So like what I experience, or do you want the science behind it?
I don't care about the science. We got enough science okay. in your ad. I want to hear.
And also, side note, I would like to know if you experienced, because what I deal with when I tend to eat more carbohydrates is uh-huh. I literally feel dizzy, Chris.
Yeah.
I literally feel.
Poor and, guy. And
shut the fuck up. But
I feel so bad in the fact for him.
Factor in the thing that, I mean, my dad's dealt with vertigo for 11 years, oh. so it is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
He's on a disability.
God. I so hope you don't get that.
You should feel bad for him. He's yeah. fucking douchebag.
Oh. Shivering. Shaking.
But when I eat carbohydrates, I literally feel just disoriented so much. So did you experience clarity? I mean, obviously talk about, you know, answer what you need to answer for Seth, but I would love to know, did you experience some sort of clarity in your brain? Were you able to think clearly?
Yeah, absolutely. So not only did I experience clarity, but, and this may, I haven't really heard many people talk about what I experienced on keto, but whenever I went from a, you know, very high in carb diet to a very low in carb diet, within a week, I don't think that it really messes with your testosterone levels, but I felt more myself than I had in a long time, and that I felt more manly. I don't know how to describe it, okay. except for I felt more like a man.
Okay. Keep going. So what do you experience on ketosis?
Well, mental clarity for sure. I'm sharper. I've got way more energy.
Talks more.
And he felt more of himself. Was that like an innuendo for masturbation? Like feeling more of yourself, feeling more manly?
I always feel like that.
Keep going.
but no, I think that the mental clarity thing is a good one. But more energy, my diet is high in fat, so I'm satiated more. I don't need to eat as much. Poop is so different on keto because without keto, I poop a lot. Like maybe twice, three times a day would be pretty normal. But on keto, I might go 3 times a week. I just don't need to poop as much because my body's using everything for nutrients and not just so pooping out stuff that I don't need. Saving time. Yeah. I know that's kind of personal, but I mean, it is what it is.
So what if I don't have the funds to eat a bunch of meat? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, dude, I'm in the middle of something here.
There are vegans who do keto.
Quit answering Andy's questions because Seth's going to go crazy here in a second.
I haven't even gotten to say anything about my diet yet, Seth, and I'm part of this little fat camp.
Well, I'm trying. I'm just like,
really wants to eat some meat.
I'm forcing myself in there. Do you know what all those are symptoms of?
What's that?
Mania. It's like the definition.
Oh, God.
Mental clarity, a sense of grandiosity, increased language, increased sex drive, lack of sleep, not needing to sleep at all. I mean, like literally that's the definition. Chris, I think you need to be less concerned about your diet and maybe more concerned about getting in to see a psychiatrist. Like,
I have help. I see a psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist.
Those are all symptoms of mania, and it's interesting that you're describing it as
such
a manic thing.
Because if I were manic, I'd be like out purchasing new cars and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Not necessarily. It depends on the person.
Or on Grindr or inviting people to your house in October or...
Speaking of, Fade to Gray Meetup, St. Louis, Missouri, October 1st weekend.
Oh, my God. Damn topic!
Continue on.
So, okay, well, I apologize for taking so much time to talk about my health journey, but I would actually like to hear from Elizabeth and Omar if you guys want to talk about what you're planning on doing to better your health.
Okay, so you heard in the last episode about my debacle with the whole poison ivy. And I got, my hoo-ha, it's doing better. But I got put on steroids, which for some reason I didn't put 2 and 2 together that steroids make you gain weight. And I gained 12 pounds. So, yay, I need to lose weight. I was already...
It doesn't show.
You don't see my ass, though, because all you see is my face. You can ask Omar. He even said something. So...
Well, he may like it, though.
So I take it Omar's been enjoying the hormones or the steroids?
He likes big butts, and he cannot lie.
There's an entire whole song about
it. Yeah, it's true. So anyway.
With a little bit of waste.
Point is, it's in your face. I started working just on diet, and I've decided I'm cutting out carbs, and I'm cutting out sugar. So no candy bars. And sadly, no ice cream. Omar went to our favorite ice cream store yesterday. He was going to get me some. And he's like, but I know you're on a diet. And I'm like, oh, this is so painful.
Oh, that was
letting
nice
him
of
go
him.
There. I know it was nice of him. And I had to say no because it's sugar. And it was very sad.
Yeah.
So
are you going to still put sugar in your coffee?
Hell yeah. I am that. Yeah.
You should get Swerve. You should get Swerve. It doesn't raise your glycemic index.
It's so
it's
gross.
Good.
I've tried it before.
No, it's not. It's way better than like Sweet and Low or something like that.
I won't touch Sweet and Low, but
no, never.
Mm-mm. No, but anyway, I so yeah, my goal is 150 pounds. But if I can lose more, that would be awesome. I started.
You need to lose 150 pounds.
Yep. No, my goal is to reach 150 pounds. I'm 106. I was 162 after taking steroids, so I'm down some, but since we started Fat Camp, where was I at on Monday? I think I was 158 or 157, something like that.
Yeah, you'd already lost a pretty good amount.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's just coming off of steroids. So now I'm hoping I'm losing some more. I was actually thinking about it because pre-pregnancy, I was 137. So I don't know that I want to go that far down, but 145 would be cool too. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
yeah.
I'm walking 15 minutes a day at least, or exercising 15 minutes a day at least, and drinking my water, lots of water. So 80 ounces.
I think your goal is a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think that's, you know, it's not unreachable. It's also not, it's a lot of people think that they need to get back to their pre-pregnancy weight. You had four fucking kids.
I know it.
And so there's no reason to get back to that weight. Mm-mm. Unless you just really want to.
I
think you have very realistic goals.
Yeah, I don't really. And with my height, the way it is, like my BMI, I've looked at it, looked online, and my BMI at 150 is even okay. It's not bad.
Yeah.
In the 140s would be better, but it's not terrible. 137 is actually almost too low. Like, it's almost too skinny for how tall I am. Because I'm fairly tall for a woman. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Taller than me.
Yeah, I am.
Doesn't take much.
Carmen's taller than you. Our children are taller than you.
Carmen's looking you in the eyes. Are they eating ice right now? Chris. No. Yes. No. I don't know. I hope not. I don't hear them through the wall, so they may actually be asleep right now. Okay, moving on.
Omar, what are you doing to improve your health?
I just want to say, first of all, that I think you look great, babe, and I don't recommend you getting down to your pre-pregnancy weight or whatever. I think that it's not all in your ass, you know, and there's some other
girls up top lose quite a bit.
So yeah, you can say great, it. Babe.
We've already talked about my hoo-ha on here. May as well talk about the girls too.
The girls, is that what they're called? So
they're called the girls.
Anyway, I personally, my health decisions and shit suck. If I can not eat gas station food, then I'm doing good. No,
station is so fucking good.
The sheets out here is actually better than a lot of the run-of-the-mill fast food places and stuff. Like, I'd rather if you eat at Sheets over McDonald's, you're probably doing better. It's a little fresher, but they actually have fruit and veggies and stuff being sold. So anyway.
Oh, I like to get those little pizza pockets and the hot dogs and the corn dogs from those things. Oh my God.
10 years ago, maybe. Yeah. I was killing those during lunch break, but now 38 years old, if I eat that, I'm going to be in pain the rest of the day and up late night doing burping and or worse. So I have had to make some dietary choices, not because I wanted to lose weight or anything like that, but just because I just can't eat what I want to eat anymore because I'm getting older. And some of that stuff's also I've noticed smoking, obviously everybody knows it's not good for you. They say it gives you cancer, which we can talk about that here in a second. Because I don't know how much I really hold stock in that. I think that there's a lot of health concerns attached to smoking and that you should not do it. It's bad, but I know a lot of old farmers out here in Western Pennsylvania that have been smoking since they're 12 years old, and and they're not dying from cancer. There's other things that are killing them, but heart disease. I mean, I'm not an advocate for tobacco. I do like to smoke, and so I'm not trying to quit smoking, but I just want to make sure that I keep it. Under check. So I'm thinking right now I smoke about 2 packs a week. And I want to cut it down to a pack a week within the next 2 weeks. And then I'm going to set a new goal of a pack every 2 weeks. And then I think I'm not going to, unless I just becomes disgusting to me at some point, then I'll make another choice. Because I do enjoy one every once in a while with my job, and sometimes just stress level, just thinking about stuff. It's kind of.
Smoking is not a joke, man. It's it's super addictive. You know, it's one of those things where whenever you're stressed out, and I don't smoke, but, I know people that do, and they would say, man, I just need a cigarette. I need it. I have to have it, you know? So I know that that's a difficult thing to give up, and you really can't give it up unless you just really want to, you know, you have to really have the desire to do it. My mom smoked from the time she was 13 until the time she was 35. I mean, she was a heavy smoker. She used to smoke in the car with the windows rolled up, and I would just gag, you know, it was so bad. And now she's to the point where, and she hasn't smoked since I was 13 years old. But now it's she can't stand to be around it, but, she had to really want to quit. I begged her for years to quit, you know, she wouldn't do it until she finally wanted to do it. So it's really got to be something you want to do. Nobody can force you to do it. But I think that's a great goal, Omar, to reduce it that much. And, you know, my stance on the cancer thing is that, of course, it causes cancer. But there's more to play. There, I mean, like you said, there's more involved, like genetics or whatever.
I would say genetics, but even diet. I think diet has a lot more to do with it. And when I reference the old farmers out here, they're also been eating stuff they grew off their land their entire year. And a lot of them are growing their own tobacco and stuff too. So there's not the extra carcinogenics and stuff, or carcinogens. I can't speak. Try that again. There's not the extra carcinogens and stuff that they put in some of the more popular cigarettes. Like I like to smoke like Newports and things like that. So they have that going for them. But genetics is huge. It really is. And I just thank God for good genetics, I guess, at this point.
You definitely have good genes. I mean, you look great. But I will say this is that you mentioned in the diet, you know, things being cancerous. Sugar is a known carcinogen. It definitely causes cancer. So not to keep going back to that, but that's another reason to give it up, is because it's just as deadly as cigarettes. So, I mean, you know, if people
and more
judge people harshly for smoking,
if you want to talk about it, I mean, it's definitely a drug, you know, like if you want to talk about,
it's as addictive as cocaine.
You can talk about sugar versus marijuana. Then you really get me going. You know, I mean, as far as like which one's more deadly and which one do we give to our kids? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You give rats cocaine or sugar, they're going to go for the sugar every time. It is way more addictive, and people just give it to their kids freely. Here, drink this apple juice.
Which is why I give my daughter cocaine, because it's less addictive.
I just like to mix the two together whenever I'm doing coke. I put like sugar in with it. Just the burn is great. Yeah. It helps with the drainage.
Come on, guys. Seriously.
Guys.
The powder.
I
mean,
I thought
powder
we were
sugar,
on the comedy
obviously.
Podcast. Which, by the way, speaking of jokes that offend people and make you say, come on, guys, I think we need to go to the next section of this podcast. Chris, roll that music.
I hear you get your news from CNN.
All these other fuckers watching Fox News again.
Yo, Chris, don't they know that shit is whack?
Hell yeah, Andy, it ain't some white and black.
FTG fan, bam, we found another way.
There's some noobs, motherfucker, on Fade to Gray.
All right, this week in News for Noobs, I'm at a loss for words with this one, because it involves so many different dynamics. One, it involves a person that is a minority. We're talking about Dina Hashem. She is a Muslim female comic in New York. This week was, I guess, the 1 year anniversary of Tentacion. Sure. My gringo-ness is showing, sir. But she made a joke, and before we get into it, Chris, I think you actually have that clip queued up, and I would love to play it for our listeners for some context so we can actually talk about it and see, get some live reactions. I know Elizabeth hasn't heard it, and a few other people have not heard it here live on the podcast. We're going to get some reactions and then talk about that.
Pause. Can we not use the word gringo in an episode?
Shut the... Are you fucking kidding me? Are you for real?
Is gringo offensive now?
Gringo definitely stays in.
Gringo is definitely not offensive.
I was like, that's what... That's,
you know how many times I've been called a gringo?
That's what white people... Yeah, that's what basically makes people call like stupid white people.
Yeah.
It's a stupid white person.
My neighbor who used to live right next... Obviously next door to me... I would call myself gringo estupido. I mean, literally.
And they probably thought, estupido.
Estupido. Thank you.
There you go.
Muchas gracias. So, yeah.
You sound like Beto.
Did I give you a cut to where you can just go into it now?
I've got that pulled up right here, Andy. Here we go.
Is anyone still mourning? XXX Tentacion. He's a rapper who was murdered. He's dead now. He was shot. He was on his way to buy a car with $50,000 in cash, and somebody shot him and took the money, which is very tragic. But I think also it would be a very good Venmo commercial.
That's, man.
That's the first thing I thought when I heard that. Like, I don't have Venmo. I should get Venmo.
So this, but she's getting blackballed. So I actually, I do want to start with Seth, because I know that you're like more of the PC, you know,
he gets kind very triggered easily.
You're one of the most PC minded people I know. Do you see any problems with this joke? Because full disclosure, I saw you grinning.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the joke.
You don't. Okay, so why do you think that it would be problematic to use the language of the people who are reporting this kind of thing? Why do you think it would be problematic to tell a joke like this?
It depends on, for example, I don't know who XXX
Tentacion
is. So to me, it doesn't hit anywhere. It's like, okay, someone died. Oh, that's funny. Because I'm able to look at it objectively because I'm not a part of it and I don't know the person involved.
Would it be different if you knew who he was, though?
Yes, potentially. Why? And how fresh it is. Like, it depends on, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. Time, relationship to the person, what that person has done for society or humanity or whatever they're known for. It's an equation. It's complicated.
But that blurs the lines of comedy that you have.
Correct.
That right. Which, guess what? To me, comedy has no lines. You can joke about 9/11 on 9/12. You can joke about
right.
Dead.
But there's
you can joke
a time.
About my dead mom.
You can.
The day she dies.
You can.
There's a way to do it right and a way to do it wrong. Too.
Right. There's
correct.
Correct.
So in your view. Do you laughed? I mean, full disclosure for
I
the audience.
I did laugh because I don't know who XX Tentacion is.
But was the joke about him, or was the joke about him having $50,000 in his hand? And she said, "That would make a good commercial for Venmo."
It was about the money in Venmo. That was the entire point of the joke.
So was it about his death or about an observation of him having money?
No, I didn't care. I don't
Absolutely.
Know. I don't know the person, so I have no context. Therefore, I don't care about his death. I don't care about his money. I care about the joke with the Venmo. Now, if this was a joke about my grandfather, okay, to me, I'm going to read into his death more than I'm going to read into the joke about the Venmo because I know that person. So depending on who XX Tentacion was in regards to our culture, that's probably why people lost it. That would be my only conclusion or rationalization.
So you think it would be okay to joke about someone who didn't contribute to culture if they died?
That is a very tricky question. That is not a yes or no answer. And I'm not going to answer that because no matter how.
But it is a yes or no answer because you set it up as a yes or no answer because you said it depends on what you've contributed to culture and what you've contributed to society.
What I'm saying is in regards. I was saying that in regards to you said that the media threw a big fit about this article. So I was responding to that. I'm not saying it as a blanket statement. I'm saying in regards to this situation, in regards to this article, why this article was taken down, why this lady was blackballed, as you put it earlier, that's what I'm responding to.
Yeah, not like
so
your
you
stance,
cannot.
That's the stance of the media. I got it.
Correct. From this specific instance, I'm not creating a blanket statement for every situation in the future. I'm talking about this one right now.
But I think with comedy, and I really do stand by this through and through. Either everything is okay or nothing is okay.
I disagree.
That's it.
Disagree.
But who makes the rules and who says who can work in comedy clubs and who cannot?
I don't know, nor do I really care.
Well, the thing about jokes and comedy is that it's supposed to make people laugh, and it's supposed to take things that people, it might even be like prejudice, for example, because the first thing I thought of whenever you said what is okay and what's not okay was like, you know, racism. And so, but like, you're supposed to turn racism on its head in comedy, and you pinpoint out these stereotypes that people just take way too seriously. And it's like comedy brings people together, you know, like calling out these stereotypes in comedy is what makes people realize how stupid they are. I think it for me, I kind of agree with Andy. I think that nothing should be taboo in comedy.
So, nothing. Okay. So question. What about when Kathy Griffin
put that picture with Donald Trump's head covered in blood, and she lost.
Was there a punchline?
Yeah, was there
I didn't think it was funny.
That?
I didn't think it was punchline? Funny, but I think
That's
she has a right to do that.
Murder, which again, I defend her right to put that up.
Yeah,
I totally do.
I'm just saying, there's lines that can. I mean, and I don't. I'm not saying
was that stand up. She's a failing stand up comic, and she's desperate for attention.
I think that was a good example that you used, Seth, because like. The way I look at it would be along the lines of, I agree with Andy and Chris where everything is okay. I don't think we need joke police saying, hey, this type of joke is okay. This type of joke isn't. What needs to happen is like either you kill or you don't. And if you don't kill and if you suck, then you need to like own that, eat that and move on. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things. It's like like if society is like if it's the wrong reaction, it's not like we don't put them in joke jail where they have to like pay penance for like. But it's like
right.
Well, that's what's happening though.
But no, and I need more information about that because in this situation I just apply everything independent of itself. But Andy, you're kind of talking as if there's this hard line that. Like, this is okay, and that's not okay. I don't believe in such a hard line. And really, if you want to...
I'm saying there's no line. I'm saying there's a line in the sense that everything is okay. And you can't say this is okay, but that's not okay. And if you've had this experience, you can speak on this. And if you're this color, you can't speak on
that. Right, and I don't...
And if you're not this color, you cannot speak on that. I think that, hey, guess what? It is all... fair game. If you've got a punchline and it's funny and the crowd is laughing, that is called comedy.
I would.
That was a funny joke.
It is a funny joke. It's great.
Yeah. I don't.
It's
disagree.
Not about his death.
I legitimately do not disagree with you.
It's kind of about.
You can also think you're being funny, but not be able to read the room and be really offensive and just be a complete asshole too. Like,
right?
I mean,
that's what I think it all comes down to. Is it's the other people in the room, their reaction, and what they take away from it. At the end of the day, that is the most important
thing. Not the country, right? The room.
Yes.
So let that comedian go home that night, hang her head, and think, I'm a fucking douchebag. I shouldn't have joked about that. And then she'll write a new bit the next week.
I am on board with you, but the problem is that we live in a 24-hour news cycle and social media world right now. So that's the new rules of the game. Anything that you put okay, well then what happened to this lady and why was she taken off air? I'm not in charge of that, but we live in a world where we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter. By
it's
golly, we have the president
ass,
tweeting
so.
Out of someone kicked
but guess
said the
what?
Wrong thing in the
Viacom,
hallway.
Viacom, who owns Comedy Central, put that clip up everywhere. And they being the total righteous indignation people, they take the right stance on everything. They thought that joke was okay.
Sure.
They didn't see the problem.
So then why was it taken down?
Because, I don't know, a couple hundred people who were not even in the room that night, who weren't affected by that dude at all.
Okay.
It doesn't even matter if they were affected by him. They somehow get the right to tell this woman she can't work in New York anymore?
So why did Viacom listen? At the end of the day, this is the board of Viacom's decision making. I don't understand what your point
is. Because, again, using your point, this is the dumb SJW world we live in to where we're all taking things down
that's
if it offends
Viacom's,
a little bit.
They must have had a CEO that was like, I care about the voices of 100 people, and they made that decision. Welcome to the world, Andy. Take it up with Viacom. Don't like throw it on every social justice warrior
Welcome
in the
to
world.
The world. I mean,
by golly,
to
that's
me,
the decision of that company. That's not the decision of the social justice warrior. All they're doing is advocating their position. And whether the company makes a decision or not is the company's damn. It's on them. It's not on the social justice warrior.
Because they
want to
seem
Get
like
over
the
yourself.
Great company. Get over myself.
Well,
this
just,
got
well,
this got really personal.
At me, like trying to angle this, and I'm like,
well,
we're on
hold
the same
on.
Page. Like, what's?
Oh my goodness!
What's
this
deal?
Is awesome.
Like, it's I don't understand. I don't understand your issue. Like, what's your?
All right,
well,
let's
you,
move on.
Who are you mad
let's
about?
Move on. Is Trump racist
not
or not?
That this has nothing to do with Trump. I want to know, what are you mad about?
Are you going to tell a Muslim woman what she can and cannot talk about? Or is anybody going to tell a Muslim woman what she can or cannot talk about?
I'm not on the board of the company that's making that decision. So,
oh
quite frankly, I'm going to point that to the next guy until I'm in that position. I like, I'm a lowly social worker. I have no power.
Clinical
I really
licensed.
Think this is one of those cases where, like, people just decided to be offended, and so they're offended. Like, the joke was about Venmo. It wasn't about the fucking rapper, but no one,
and,
not everybody
yeah,
can see
it was
that.
About having $50,000 in your
in,
grip of your
in
fist.
Cash.
Should have used Venmo. Big deal. Okay, sorry, sorry the dude died, but it's about having cash instead of Venmo.
But see, honestly, I don't even know if this is really even about the joke at all. We live in a social media realm where, guess what? People get money from like YouTube and these different things by the amount of views that they get. I think we live in a world and age now to where people are actually looking for things to get upset about so that they can get their name out there. But that's a whole nother topic. But
is
you're, we're
that
just
okay? Is that right?
I think the point is that use, that's the world we live in now.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
like,
but that's the right. world we live in now as if this... So, okay, in 1942, well, the Jews are getting rounded up into death camps. Well, that's just the world we live in now, folks. I mean,
no, what I'm saying is like go to Donald Trump's Twitter. Look at one tweet and look at all the 15 million comments of people saying meaningless things to him. I'm not going
to
lie. I've done,
well, they love to hate
I've done it a few times. I've been so angry. I've been like, Donald Trump, you're such an idiot. But I...
But
you, I mean, people...
Really?
People get attention for complaining. Like,
and he probably read every single one of your comments.
He probably did and cried himself a little river. And then...
I think he probably...
Laughed.
Just laughed and said, what an idiot. Hey... But,
I'm rich,
but let me ask you this. Were some of the things that you getting upset about, did they affect you personally?
Who are you asking that of?
You. You're the one that got upset
about Trump.
No,
but he cares. He has a big heart, Chris.
Were any of those issues that you got upset about, did they directly affect you, a white, cisgendered male?
No. It infringes on it, though.
But I don't understand why you feel like you need to go and speak for all these other people then. Like, for example, what was one of the things that you got upset about?
At what point?
I don't know. What one thing that you got upset about?
Today, yesterday, last week, last month, last term,
Pick one. Send her back. About that?
Okay, let's talk about it. Yeah.
So are women not able to defend themselves?
No, they definitely can defend themselves.
So why do they need you?
They don't need me.
To mansplain stuff away.
I'm not, to
defend their honor.
Okay. Where have you seen me defending women's honor? I don't, like, where are you seeing me doing these things?
You're saying that you went on Twitter and defended them.
No, I didn't defend them. I just tore it off to Trump just because I wanted to. Like, dude, you're a failure. You are destroying America. For me, it was cathartic. Why do people post Facebook comments when they're upset? Why do people post Twitter? What is Instagram about? I mean, it's all about some type of getting something off of your chest. So that's what I did. And I think that's what a lot of people use social media for.
Speaking of social media, go ahead and like and subscribe.
We're hitting a lull in the conversation here, but
yeah, let's put a button on this. We're actually going to end this News for Noob segment because this has been wildly successful. This is the honestly, this is the best News for Noob segment I've ever been a part of. Chris, wouldn't you say this is gold?
It's beautiful.
I feel like this is 1849 and we've just discovered the Sierra foothills of California. This is amazing.
We just had to fight the entire time, but we are viewing things differently. You don't view things the same way I do, and we need to fix that.
No, we don't.
No, you
That's
don't.
What's
We're
beautiful about
gray,
America.
Fucker.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm just
and
joking.
He says that with a shit-eating grin, but folks, thank you for listening to this segment this week, News for Noobs. Tune in next week.
What's going on, listeners? Omar here, a.k.a. Pothead Pastor, a.k.a. Omi the Homie, a.k.a. the Fade Father. With my pleasure to talk to you guys a little bit about the FTG family, a.k.a. Fambam, a.k.a. Phaetron, a.k.a. the friends your parents say aren't real.
Are you the king of nicknames, AKA? AKA.
That's just.
Are you just a, are you Canadian who loves talking about automatic weapons? AKA.
isn't that what all the rappers say? You know, AKA. You know,
like I got my AKA. Love it. So what are we here for?
So I'm here to talk to everybody today about the FTG family. So basically, that's just our Patreon that you can join for as little as $1 a month. The Patreon, or the Fade to Gray family, is the community surrounding the podcast. And basically, guys, if you've heard us talk about this pretty much every episode, I'd say if you're interested at all, jump on now, because the $1 a month entry level into the Marco Polo will be going up probably at the end of the month. So you have about 3 weeks to go ahead and jump in for a dollar right now, get grandfathered in if you like it, you know, jump out if you don't, but what's not to like? Obviously, you get to talk with Andrew and Andrew every day.
Hey.
Or Andrew and Andy. I feel like I am the Andy sandwich right now.
You are.
Because one of the benefits, one of the many benefits of joining the Fade to Gray Patreon is we have about 5 tiers of perks, from a free t-shirt level, monthly Zoom call level, secret YouTube episodes. I believe there's 3 of those out right now. Original artwork, but from the Williams kids. And a personal interview put on by the Fade to Gray family. And that today is what's going on with this Andy sandwich. We have Andrew Keener here along with Andy Gillis. And basically, we're just going to get to know a little bit more about the Keeners. I met Andrew and his wife. Was it February?
Yeah, I think it was February that we saw each other at the Emory show for BCCon.
Is that Maeve I hear in the background, or is that?
Yeah, it is Maeve in the background.
Very awesome.
And in the FTG family, we are all about the family, by the way, as you can hear in the background. So we don't just walk, we don't talk the talk, we walk the walk. We've got,
that's right.
We've
even
got the
in
family.
The Marco Polo groups, we're always seeing either Avery, which is Andy's daughter, or my kids are always hogging the, you know, anytime they can get on the Marco Polo, they like jump at the chance. And so, hi, Maeve.
She says hi.
So yeah, we were at a, I guess we'll go ahead and drop it. We were at an Emory show in Dallas last February when I ran into this lovely couple. We kind of met, I guess my wife, I think, met you guys first, and she's like, you got to meet this couple. They're really cool. And I walked over. We had some similar backgrounds for Master's Commission, which is the Assemblies of God. So we had some similar religious trauma to discuss right away. And at that point, we were heavy into that in the podcast. So we gave them a card. You know, I had a really good meeting, talked to them for probably about 30, 45 minutes at the show. Went on my normal life. And then about a week or two later, these guys are joining the Patreon. They're, you know, they've been in our life and they've been amazing. And so I just wanted to give you, Andrew, an opportunity to talk a little bit about yourself. And I know Andy had a couple questions for you. So, yeah, man. So why Fade to Gray? Why'd you join the Patreon? Why are you giving us money? Like, why would you do that?
Well, you know, you guys had talked to us about your podcast. And so on the way back to Oklahoma City where we live, we started actually listening to some episodes. We both enjoyed it. We both liked it. And so I kept listening a little bit after that. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I feel like this is a good investment. I said, you know, let's throw in and do the $9 a month and just give them something to kind of help them actually do this and not have to fork money out themselves out of their own pockets to do this.
Dude, that's a huge thing to do, because especially if you don't really even know the people, or have, you know, like with certain podcasts, you have a past with them, you know their band, or you know things that
some
they've
sort of
done.
Celebrity status of some sort of way.
Sure. Yeah. And to have someone just introduce themselves at a show and say, hey man, check us out. That's a huge thing to just jump in and support. So I get my first question is, like, what do you get out of supporting the podcast? Is it the Marco Polo group that you feel some sort of connection with? Is it the actual content that you just want to support? What do you feel like you get out of supporting Fade to Gray?
You know, I think right now a lot of it is the community. I enjoy the community definitely the most out of it, you know, because I don't get the time always to listen to podcasts all day. I'm always out in the facility where I work, so I don't get to wear headphones or anything and listen to any music or podcasts. So being able to go in from work to home and, you know, open up the Marco Polo app and being able to communicate with you guys on my way home or even when I get home, it kind of opens up to that community, like I'm saying, just being able to meet new people, even though, yeah, we're over a video miles and miles away, it still gives that connection, you know.
That's the millennial way of connecting with people, isn't it? Just miles and miles away over video and audio.
I mean, we met in person, so you know there is some real relationship there. And
right.
Also, didn't you get to hang out with somebody else last weekend? You want to tell us a little bit about like what happened last weekend? And you met one of the hobbits, I think, from Lord of the Rings.
I met one of the hobbits. Yes, Chris. I got to hang out with Chris last week.
That was a short joke, by the way.
Yeah, we got to meet him. We went down to Dallas for the day to go to the aquarium, and I gave him a polo up and said, "Hey, man, we're gonna be down here. Let's go have some tacos." And so we met up, and you know, got to hang out, talk, and just actually see each other in person. It was nice.
That is great. One thing I wonder though is how people talk about the podcast or how people describe Fade to Gray as a whole when they either recommend or don't recommend, because not everybody recommends Fade to Gray. If you were to tell someone about the podcast, how would you even describe us? How would you describe the content?
I think content, you guys talk about things that other people won't. And okay. That to me kind of, it's a benefit. And then also, you know, you guys, you know, I know not everybody's Christian anymore, you know, and even though those that are Christians are still hanging out with, you know, most people try to say that homosexuality is wrong, or, you know, so there are people that are gay in the community that are, you know, that are not, and we all get along. And, you know, that's how we're supposed to be a family, you know, in this world that we live in. We have to figure out how to be around everybody, no matter what way they are, what religion they are, what, you know, gender, sexuality that they choose to have. And I feel like you guys get that point across. And, you know, being able to see that in action, I feel like it makes me a better person, and I can help other people be better people.
That's huge, because honestly, this podcast has made me a better person. I honestly did not have this diverse of a friendship group. Honestly, you know, as you get older, you just get so consumed with work that you kind of just tend to drop friends who, you know, I'm a single dad, so not a lot of whole friendship fits into my life. So to connect with this podcast and be on this podcast has really opened my eyes to thinking about things differently. You know, like you mentioned, the LGBT community. I think about that issue, honestly, completely different as to 2 or even 1 year ago, honestly. So it's an eye-opening experience, even just being on this podcast. So that is a really, really cool answer that you would even notice what we're trying to do, maybe not even consciously for some people, but the fact that you notice that and you support that financially even is really, really cool. But I do want to ask, since we're on the subject of the actual podcast and maybe even some of the members, you mentioned, yeah, some sexual preferences. You're talking about one of our podcast hosts, shout out to Seth. But what I want to know, and this might get really funny or really serious, who is your least favorite member of Fade to Gray?
Least favorite? Yeah, honestly.
And I'll follow that up with, who's your favorite?
You know, I don't have a favorite or least favorite, you know,
said like a true father right there.
That's right.
I have not had any issue with anybody, you know, that has been a part of the podcast. I've enjoyed all my interactions with you guys in person because I've met both of you guys, you know, same concert. We were all there. And I've at least met Chris. You know, eventually I'll be able to meet the rest of the crew. And, you know, hopefully we all do some sort of get together at a good center point for everybody.
I will drop that there is a meetup happening for scheduled right now for October 4th, the first weekend in October in St. Louis at Seth's house. Speaking of Seth. So if you're in the area or you just want to meet up, I know there's already at least one person that I think bought their plane tickets and some other people who live in the area. So yeah, that's something we can throw in your calendar, look at coming, hanging out with, meeting some sweet people like Andrew.
That's right. And I'm hopefully coming there from California. So it's going to be a good time.
I just want to thank you, buddy, for all the really nice things you said. Honestly, like I think the thing that stood out was when you mentioned how, you know, we talk about things that people don't normally talk about. And that's big because we really do feel here at Fade to Gray that there should be no topic that's off limits.
Right.
You know, and no personality that's off limits. Basically, be fully yourself. And it really does force you as an individual to really, like, whenever something happens and somebody might rub you wrong in the community or something is said, but with the no limits, no boundaries sort of rules that we have here, it kind of really gets out of that victim mentality. It gets out of the whole, like, oh, that person did something. It really puts the ownership on you, how you're going to react and respond in every situation. Because we can't say, oh, they did something wrong, put them in like social justice, like a jail for however long. It's just one of those things. It's like, oh, no. Yeah. And it allows you also in a community like that to see how your words affect other people. You know what I mean? So too. So it's like you get some genuine, like, wow, I didn't mean for that to come off that way. And I don't know. It's really awesome in this community, like you said, Andrew, and I just want to reiterate that and thank you for your probably articulated it better than even I could. But just a space where basically we can all, you know, fade to gray, a space where we can all just kind of meld together and how different personalities really. I feel like I have definitely become a better person in the last year,
right?
Based on conversations I've had with people that maybe I wouldn't normally have had, or just being forced to step out into areas that, like, maybe it would be a lot more comfortable to stay and not go there. And just, it's a whole different mentality to live by. And once you start living that way, it's like, why go back to anything else? You know, it's like, why go back to comfort? Why, you know, why go back to those cliques, those things that used to make us feel good? It's like, no, those things held us back. Those things kept us from being truly fully who we are.
Well, no, you're right. A lot of this, it opens up dialogue. It gives us the ability to figure out how to discuss issues that people end up screaming at each other about, you know, politics, gender, just relationships in general. You know, we as a society have become people that scream at each other instead of talk to each other. And our media that we get basically force fed is helping push it to where people are always yelling at each other. And, you know, this group kind of helps us figure out how to have that dialogue to where we can actually talk. We can just sit across, you know, two states from each other, whatever. And we're both sitting down at a couch and talking to each other instead of screaming
or angrily typing on Facebook, which, you know, it's so true, because like the whole connecting thing, I think it really paints a picture for me, because you know, before I joined this podcast, I know just talking about bridging the gap here, but I know that Seth really did have a lot of preconceived notions about me, and I know I think even Chris had some preconceived notions about myself. And, you know, once you get to know someone and you hear their voice and you talk to them and you actually have a conversation, it really gives you such a different perspective, and it gives you way more of a tolerance for the person and who they are and where they've come from.
and even what they're going through and why they're saying what they're saying. I think it's a huge thing to provide a space like this. And I'm lucky to be a part of it, to be honest with you. I just feel lucky to be here. But this is a very, it's a very special space to be in when we can pop on Marco Polo and just talk about, you know, the Democratic debates or, you know, like you said, gender, or even just what our kids are up to and how our days were at work. It's something that is not always thought of when you get home from work and you just want to isolate and go to your comfort zone. A lot of people just don't want to pop on an app and connect with other people, and it's so easy to do. So the fact that you do that and you do that financially means a lot, and I think it's great.
And we have, you know, Patreon is growing. We have two new names to announce. We have Thomas Edmund. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Thomas. And
Joshua Crawford.
Joshy C.
Joshua.
You the man. So appreciate you guys. Pop into Marco Polo, say what's up. We'd love to, you know, continue this dialogue, obviously. That's the other cool thing about the Marco Polo app is, like, if it gets overwhelming, you can always just shut it off. It's not like you're stuck in a room with people and you have to, like, keep making conversation. You know, if things happen in life and no one holds you to, like, any sort of standard, like, or judges you, like, where did that person go? We're having a great conversation. Life happens. We understand that. So the conversation's always going to be there. It doesn't delete. It's not Snapchat. And one more thing, guys. From now to the end of August, we are running a special contest to promote FDG. To enter this contest or to participate, basically, you need to go on iTunes, and after you've subscribed, if you already haven't, give us a 5-star rating and a review, any review, and we will read the review aloud on air, no matter what you say. And also, we'll put your name into a drawing with all the names. If you've already left us a 5-star review, your name's already there, you're grandfathered in.
What if it's 4 stars? Does that mean they're not qualified?
Not qualified. It has to be a 5-star. Okay, if it's cool. 4 stars, fuck you. Just makes it easier for people to find us, honestly. It's just no the doubt. Algorithms. We're basically trying to hack the system. But at the end of August, we will be offering a special prize. Probably just a mug, but we'll actually give you a choice between a mug or a t-shirt or maybe a sticker pack. So there you go. Please jump on iTunes, give us a rating, and a five-star rating, that is. If you don't like us, please go check out, go give Bad Christian a 1-star rating.
There you go.
And
yeah, definitely.
Love that. Well, hey, Andrew, thanks for coming on today. Thanks for supporting us. We appreciate you and your awesome wife, Amanda. And hey, Maeve, thanks for coming on too. We appreciate you guys and we love you.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Chris is my favorite.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.